Blog Talk Radio.
This is the first time in our history that this ceremony has been held, as you've been told, on this west front of the Capitol. Standing here, one faces a magnificent vista, opening up on this city's special beauty and history. At the end of this open mall are those shrines to the giants on whose shoulders we stand. Directly in front of me, a monument to a monumental man, George Washington, father of our country. A man of humility who came to greatness reluctantly. He led America out of revolutionary victory into infant nationhood. Off to one side, the stately memorial to Thomas Jefferson, a Declaration of Independence flames with his eloquence. And then beyond the reflecting pool, the dignified columns of the Lincoln Memorial. Whoever would understand in his heart the meaning of America will find it in the life of Abraham Lincoln. Beyond those monuments to heroism, is the Potomac River, and on the far shore, the sloping hills of Arlington National Cemetery, with its row upon row of simple white markers bearing crosses or stars of David. They add up to only a tiny fraction of the price that has been paid for our freedom. Each one of those markers is a monument to the kind of hero I spoke of earlier. Their lives ended in places called Belleau Wood, the Argonne, Omaha Beach, Salerno, and halfway around the world on Guadalcanal, Tarawa, Porkchop Hill, the Chosin Reservoir, and in 100 rice paddies and jungles of a place called Vietnam. Under one such marker lies a young man, Martin Treptow, who left his job in a small town barber shop in 1917 to go to France with the famed Rainbow Division. There on the Western Front, he was killed trying to carry a message between battalions under heavy artillery fire. We're told that on his body was found a diary. On the flyleaf, under the heading My Pledge, he had written these words: America must win this war. Therefore, I will work, I will save, I will sacrifice, I will endure. I will fight cheerfully and do my utmost as if the issue of the whole struggle depended on me alone. The crisis we're facing today does not require of us the kind of sacrifice that Martin Treptow and so many thousands of others were called upon to make. It does require, however, our best effort and our willingness to believe in ourselves and to believe in our capacity to perform great deeds, to believe that together, with God's help, we can and will resolve the problems which now confront us. And after all, why shouldn't we believe that? We are Americans. God bless you and thank you. Thank you very much.
Welcome, listeners, to City on a Hill. We're so grateful that you've tuned in. And as always, we ask that you invite your friends and family throughout the country and really throughout the world to come join us, come and learn with us. And God is so good. He does not want us to perish for lack of knowledge, and he gives us great gifts to join us and really give us truths that unfortunately are not shared in today's mainstream media. But these are very pivotal times. It's almost like we're between the world that we see it now and something else that will last for eternity. And I'm going to ask our dear friend, Ms. Christina Marcus from California, to start us off in prayer. If you don't mind, Ms. Christina, would you start us off in getting our conversation on the right foundation?
Not at all. Father God, we just come before you this morning on this day of remembrance of 9/11. Lord, where our hearts are turned to you for all that's happening in our country and since 9/11. And Lord, we just ask you that as we go forward, especially with our show today on City on the Hill, Lord, that you just bless our message, that the words that we speak come through the Spirit, your Spirit, Lord, that they minister to so many lost people that are listening. Lord, we need to turn back to you. This country is in deep trouble, and we know it, and you know it, and we know what it takes to turn it back. So, Lord, we just ask you for your strength, your wisdom, your discernment, and your courage, Lord, to stand and for truth, no matter what, and not compromise, Lord, that bring our message to those that have ears to hear and eyes to see. And, Lord, we just ask you that the Spirit just reach into them and soften their hearts with this message today. And, Lord, we just thank you for all those that have sacrificed so much. And we just ask you for your hand of blessing upon all our military, all of their families, and all the soldiers everywhere, Lord, that are standing for truth and freedom. Lord, we thank you for that blessing that you gave us with liberty. And, Lord, we just pray that we aren't too late to salvage what you so blessed us with in this nation. Lord, we ask you for your guidance this day and to bless our message and to bless this show and to bless our guests, Bev and Diana and myself. And Lord, we just thank you and praise you and give you the honor and the glory. And we pray this in your precious name, Yeshua. Amen.
Amen.
Wow, it's a special day here in America. We had our president last night give a speech to ask us to join forces with Al-Qaeda on 9/11.
It is so troubling, and I just saw something on Facebook. Obama's Syrian rebels behead and kill children in historic Christian villages. And I dare say that, Zeb, you've heard about that, and Ms. Christina, you've heard about that. And, you know, what a headline to read today on 9/11. You know, this is where we're at, where we're contemplating giving aid to Al-Qaeda. So, yeah, it's very perilous times. And with that in mind, Zeb, give us your thoughts on 9/11 and where we're at today.
Well, you know, absolutely. This is a very sad day, a day of remembrance. You know, we stand with the families and in memory of their loved ones. And, you know, being here in Israel, we really understand what the people are going through in 9/11 because, you know, Israel has gone through years of terrorist acts. And, you know, when this happened in 9/11, a lot of people, you know, here every year it's a very sad time here in Israel. And we know it's the end times. We know it's the hand of the devil, the hand of Satan, who is operating through these Al-Qaeda groups, these terrorist groups in the Middle East and around the world. And, you know, and President Obama is just another tool of Satan. That's what he is, you know, and it's very sad. It's a hard day here in Israel, too, as well.
Oh, indeed. And Ms. Christina, I don't know if you saw this morning, but, you know, supposedly at the time when they were supposed to be a moment of silence, did you hear that when they were talking about that? That, you know, here's Obama, who remembers to do all sorts of things and has all sorts of people reminding him to do things, but would you believe he forgot to stop and pay honor to that? But
yes,
anyway,
I do believe he didn't forget, Diana, because this is not a day of remembrance to him. It's a day of service. Remember, he changed it to a day of service, not a day of remembrance.
Mm.
He wants, yeah, because, again, this is about his precious Muslims.
It's very disheartening.
Yes, it is. It's so disheartening to see what's happening.
Well, Ms. Christina, what are your thoughts on 9/11 and where we're at today also?
My thoughts today, Diana, are how sad I am that, you know, right after 9/11, all you saw was patriotic people, flags everywhere, bumper stickers that said, "We shall never forget." And yet look at where we are today, 12 years later, we have forgotten. Not only have we forgotten, we've just gotten an apathy in this nation that is so sad to me. You know, I see what we did after 9/11 when we went into Afghanistan, we went into Iraq, you know, and all that blood and treasure that was lost in Iraq, and this president just gave it away. And we're turning our nation over. We're turning our nation over to the Muslim Brotherhood. We're turning our nation's sovereignty over. Our nation's greatness and power and generosity is just being destroyed. And I think of all the blood and treasure. My father, who spent years and years serving this nation, how it is just being destroyed by this president, and nobody stands up. Nobody says anything. That's what makes me so sad today. I remember 9/11 like it was yesterday. And yet I see what our nation is 12 years later, and I'm sad. I'm really sad because we have forgotten.
Well, Ms. Christina and Bev, we started our radio show on 9/11, and it was really, we started because our Judge Roy Moore here in Alabama, our Chief Justice, was pretty much put out of office, and me and a friend were saying, you know, it's that scripture, my people perish for lack of knowledge. They just really do not understand what's going on. So we thought, okay, we'll do the radio show, and I was reading Jeremiah, the 52 days, rebuilding the wall, and I said, okay, Lord, what does that mean? He was telling me to start the show on 9/11. Our first broadcast was 9/11, and 52 days after 9/11 was the George Bush election. Remember the Hanging Chad incident?
Yeah.
But it was God had a time for us to start, and so it's funny because we have put on our website, you know, Land of the Free, Home of the Brave, and it's the message has been to know where your enemy hides. And that's been the problem with America, I think. Like you said, Ms. Christina, we've been apathetic. We are not even seeing that the enemy is right there. And, of course, now with Common Core, we know they're in the school system. But, Zeb, I am looking at Job 38. I had asked God for a word, and I'm on Job 38. And do you have your Bible in front of you by chance, Zeb?
You said it's Job 38, okay.
Job 38. And it is talking about God's standards. And it's talking about, you know, God's ways are higher than our ways. So, you know, this, one of the things that really has struck me about where America is there is a turning. There is a turning in that there are many parents who saw that, you know, they don't have the help that they need. And that really the only one that can help them is Jehovah. And I think there is a bending of the knees and a bowing of the head. It's not all across the nation, Zev, but we are seeing it. We are hearing it. I am hearing it from New York to California, you know, north to south, Alabama on up. We are just really, I think we are seeing a movement, and it's not something that is in the headlines. But, you know, when I look at Job 38, I know that many of us will question what is happening. But I almost think, Zeb, that God is so merciful that he is making us get down on our knees so that we can know to look up.
Amen, absolutely. You know, and as Christina was sharing about, you know, people losing their faith and, you know, what's going on with America and Obama and everything. You know, Obama's just, you know, he's not a friend of Israel. He's not a friend of the United States. He's an enemy of the world. That's what I would call him. He's a direct tool of Satan. So please don't be fooled by him, because the man is totally demon-possessed. He's a Muslim, and he's a danger to the world. And, you know, he needs prayer and he needs salvation urgently. Now, regarding the Word of God, you know, people need to turn to the Word of God, you know, and we're seeing this more and more in the world. But, you know, you're saying that people don't see Obama for who he is, and they don't see the situation in the world for what's happening, and they don't see what's happening with Russia and the Middle East. It's because people have turned, you know, away from the Bible. Even the Bible that's preached today in many places in the world, it's preached, you know, a candy message. It's preached, you know, a compromise of the Word of God. And we have to go back to the Word of God and put our trust in the Word of God, because, as you just said before, only Jehovah, only Yeshua, only Jesus can take us out of the situation that we're in and bring us into that peace. There's no other way. And if we read the Word of God and we meditate on the Word of God, that's when we could have revelation and see what's going on in the world, because the Bible just opens those doors, opens up our minds, and we can actually see what's going on in the world and understand that what we're seeing is Bible prophecy come to life. And, you know, the Bible talks about in Romans 1:16, Paul was saying, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, of Yeshua." And this is what we need to go back to. We need to go back to that Romans 1:16, to that not to be ashamed of the gospel. And then we turn to God, and God will answer our prayers, and God will protect the believers, the ones who are true to the Word of God.
Well, I had watched a movie just recently, and it was called Olympus Hath Fallen. And it shows where this man, an agent, you know, pretty much saved the day. And it's all with powerful weapons. He has a lot of intellect. And I thought to myself, you know, this is us. We have put so much stock in might, in power, in military, in guns, in government, that, you know, asking God for help in America is like, you know, who are those people? You know, it seems so strange. But yet, it is what our founders did. It is in our history. It is what makes America what it is today, a great nation. And I'm reminded in Job 38, it's just a beautiful, Miss Christina, do you have your Bible? I just love it. I want to go into other things, but I'm just so taken up with Job 38. Because it's got such awesome things in there. It says on verse four, "Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Who marked off its dimensions? Who stretched a measuring line across it? Who shut up the sea behind doors when it burst forth from the womb? And have you ever given orders to the morning, or shown the dawn its place, that it might take the earth by the edges? Oh, my goodness, the earth takes the shape like clay under a seal. Its features stand out like those of a garment. Have you journeyed to the springs of the sea, or walked into the recesses of deep? Have the gates of death been shown to you? Have you seen the gates of the shadow of death?" And Zev, I mean, that's just a part of 38. But I think that's where we're at, Zev. It's like we really need to get a hold of the majesty, the sovereignty of God during these perilous times. And that, you know, we cannot put our faith and trust in man, in government. But it's like you say, we really need to get a hold of God and what he's telling us.
Amen. And Job 38 is such a wonderful verse, and it really shows us who the King of the universe is and what a merciful and loving God we have. And we have to remember that God is in full control. And, you know, reading here, verse 8, who shuts up the sea behind doors, and when he bursts forth, what you were reading before, "When I made the clouds its garment and wrapped in thick darkness, when I fixed," it's just when I said, "This far you come, and no farther here is your proud waves halt." You know, it's just, he is the King of the world. And, you know, just as the children of Israel were in bondage in Egypt, and they were crying out to the Lord, and they were crying out to God. And God heard the prayers. God heard the prayers, the prayers from the heart. And that's when God went and he released them. He put the 10 plagues on Egypt, and he released them from bondage. And, you know, and we need to cry out to God right now, and the people need to turn to God, not to turn to the media, not to turn to the to Obama's lies, not to turn to what to have fear. You know, there were the people were in panic here in Israel with the situation in Syria. They're lining up hundreds of thousands of people to get gas masks. And I went over there to the place where they were handing out gas masks, and I prayed with the people, and I said, don't put your trust in a gas mask, because only the Lord of hosts, God, is going to save you. No gas mask is going to save you. And a lot of people left the line, and they said, I'm not going to take a gas mask. And they were saying, you know, I put my trust in God. And others, you know, were listening. And, you know, so many times we turn to, you know, to man-centered things. We follow the media. We follow the press. We follow the radio, the television. And you know, we instead of following the Word of God, instead of putting our faith and trust in the Lord. And this is, you know, Job 38 reminds us of that. And it's a wonderful scripture that that God gave you. It's, I'm looking at it also in Hebrew right now. It's just amazing. The Holy Spirit is just speaking through those verses.
And Miss Christina, what are your thoughts, Miss Christina?
Well, I'm just reading it now because I ran and got my Bible. But you know, it's so powerful, and this is what God is telling us. You know, Zev has a saying all the time, we're little people, but we have a great big God. And if we just remember, God is everything. And this is what he's telling us. Who did all this? You didn't do it. I did it. You know, this is my power. This is my glory. This is what I'm offering you. You know, he loves us so much, and he has sacrificed so much that so we can have salvation. And yet not us, because obviously, you know, we love him so much, but we see so many lost souls, even in churches. I mean, it's not just people out there, it's churches. It's the whole state of being, of state of mind, where people have lost the majesty of God and how powerful he is and what he can do in their lives because they have turned to man. You know, there was a show... night, Diane. I don't know if you saw it. Hannity had a program on Friday night, and he had nothing but college children on there. Diane, I had to turn it off. I was so upset. You want to talk about the indoctrination working. You want to talk about children that don't even have a clue who God is anymore, because these children are all looking to government. I've never seen anything like it in my life, to the point it upset me so bad I had to shut it off.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, the indoctrination is working. These children were like Polly Parrots of Obama. They were praising him like he was some god.
One of the things, Ms. Christina, that we did last Friday, and Zev, we looked at Psalm 35. Let's see, we looked at that. The first prayer in Congress was on September 7th. So that was just, you know, 4 days ago. And we were reminded of Psalm 35, which Psalm 35 is that imprecatory prayer. And Ms. Christina, Zev, we have gotten away from that in this nation. But yet, when you think about that first prayer in Congress, was such a powerful prayer where we were asking for help against our enemies, you know. And we know it worked, right? Because, you know, here we are fighting Great Britain, and it worked. But it's almost, Zev and Ms. Christine, it's almost like I hear a lot of people, and I really don't ever hear any imprecatory prayers anymore. But yet, you know, I thought, well, wow, that was a basis that they used. You know, it just happened to fall on that day. But that must have been God saying, this is what I want you to do on this day. Right. And I think we've got to get back to that again, Ms. Christina, because we've not been using that. And I just look at this right here on 34 in Job. He says, do you send the lightning bolts on their way? Do they report to you, here we are? Who endowed the heart with wisdom or gave understanding to the mind? We know that he gave our founding fathers understanding.
Oh, yes.
But because we have forgotten that.
They sought him, Diana. They sought the Lord. We no longer, you know, I was watching a little this morning on the 9/11, you know, ceremonies. And here they were in Washington, D.C. Now, I can't think of a more ungodly group to come out on the Capitol steps and have a prayer. They came out on the Capitol steps, and there they are bowing their heads. The hypocrisy, Diana, was screaming out of the television. They're standing there praying. As they've got a pastor up there saying a prayer. And I was sickened. I was sickened because of the blasphemy. I don't know if you understand that, but it was so disturbing. Because
I would be sickened.
Who are you praying to? You guys, what are you doing? They were saying, you know, that let, you know, God lead our congressman. Do you think they're even listening to God? No. They're trying to deceive, and I'm standing there looking at Boehner and the rest of them who are now trying to figure out a way they can deceive the American public and defund Obamacare and then fund it at the same time and then go, but we defunded it. How they're trying to lie and deceive, and they're standing there praying. Really?
Really? It's just...
It depends who they were praying to.
What's that?
Well, it depends who they were praying to, you know? I mean, I don't think they were praying to the Lord of Hosts, that's for sure.
They were not, because they don't even know the Lord of Hosts. And that's what the blasphemy that is going on with our leaders in Washington, D.C., the ones that technically we are accountable for this nation by our leaders because we have picked them. And these people are making our nation accountable to God for judgment by what they're doing. They're praying to Baal, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I think that it's important that the people understand not to follow these people and to follow the Word of God. You know, so they're not making anybody accountable. They're making themselves accountable. I mean, people need to know to follow the Word of God and not the Word of man. And you said something. Before he spoke about power, the power in the word and how powerful the scriptures are. And, you know, many times a lot of people, you know, ask, you know, what made Paul so, you know, so unashamed of the gospel? What made him, you know, have that power to go and to proclaim the word of God? And he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And the simple answer is behind him was the power of the gospel. And, you know, and how much power is in the gospel? You know, the Bible says the great power, you know, power in Psalm 79:11. The Bible says God has strong power. In Psalm 89:13, the Bible says God has glorious power. In Exodus 15:6, it says he has mighty power. In Job 9:4, he has everlasting power. You know, in Isaiah 26, he has sovereign power. Romans 9:21, he has, you know, effectual power. And we can go on and on and on with these verses. Because the Word of God is power, and that power is what can enable us to do anything through Yeshua HaMashiach, anything. And, you know, I really pray that the people here listening on the radio today that understand, turn to the Book of God, turn to the Word of God, and that when you pray, when someone's praying, you know, make sure you're listening, that what they're praying is the Lord of Hosts and is in line with the Word of God.
That's right.
Thank you, Zell.
They're not even in line with the Word of God.
Go ahead, Ms. Christina.
Well, I was just going to say, I was told the other day that there's a secret private prayer group in Washington, D.C. And, you know, it's supposed to be this prayer group, this godly prayer. It's Jim DeMint is in it. Hillary Clinton is in it. Now, what does that tell you? Yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Abomination.
Abomination is right. So even the people that we thought were decent, God-fearing people are really not. They're full of compromise. And this is why our nation is facing what it is today. We have compromised away the word of God and brought in all of the, well, the abominations, the paganism, you name it, we brought it in and glorified it.
Oh, indeed. Oh, Miss Christine, I just saw the video today. I saw a 9/11 video. That is the most just really moving video of 9/11 that I've seen. And, you know, it shows all the pictures of all those people that were on the planes and a lot of the scenes. And it just, you know, tears you apart when you're watching. But I watch it every 9/11 because I have to remember. Yes. I can never forget. You know, there were people whose lives were lost because of what we're trying to promote now. Our government has turned around and wants us to forget who our enemies are. Our government wants to teach the Allah is God curriculum. They tried to do that. Our government wants to call these people freedom fighters. We know that because of Common Core. Common Core is this administration's product. But I'm so grateful for God's word today, Job 38, because in utter contrast to whatever the plans of the enemy, it's really foolhardy. It's like a little ant going against a giant. How foolish to think that, you know, you can really go against that amazing God, but we know what he wants to do. The enemy tries to kill, steal, and destroy. And this is why we really have to wake up, because now, you know, we see our military, they're under attack, you know, the don't ask, don't tell policy. We see our economy, I mean, families are under attack. You know, used to they could provide for their families, but half of them's out of work. And now even the school isn't safe. Half of the teachers are being, you know, forced and attacked to do things that they know they shouldn't be doing. So there is so much attack, but it's so good to remember that our God is, as Job 38 reminds us, you know, he is sovereign, and he's watching over this. And to me, the saddest thing is really, Miss Christina, the people that are lost, because we know that hell is forever. Yeah. You know, that is, to me, that is the most damaging thing. But this is why what Zeb is doing right now in Israel is so important, Zeb. And if you don't mind, share some of the stories of what you're seeing come to pass.
Yeah, I would be blessed to share a little bit. But I just want to talk about something about 9/11. There was something in the Israeli news today that they spoke about one of the mother's victims in 9/11, and she was on the wasn't 9/11, it was in Benghazi, and
that's,
one of the mothers,
yeah,
of the victims, and I forget her name. Do you know her name?
Yes, I know who you're talking about. She was on this morning too. Yes.
And she was like saying that, you know, the government doesn't want to tell me the truth. I wish they would tell me the truth. And I was, you know, we were praying for her as she was saying this. You know, they translated in the Israeli news today what she was saying in Hebrew, and you know, we really felt we wanted to pray for her. And I just listened to her, and I said, you know, asking the government, you know, to give answers about Benghazi is like going to Satan and saying, why are you a snake? You know, it's the same thing.
Right.
You're not going to get any answers from the government, because the government is the one who's protecting the Muslims. The government is,
yes,
is controlled, is the root of the problem.
Our government, you know, right now, Zeb, is committing treason against our nation.
Yes.
That's the bluntness of it. Our government is committing treason against our nation. And that's frightening.
It was very heartbreaking to see to see this this mother, the way she was speaking. And, you know, when he translated to Hebrew, they usually don't translate everything to Hebrew here immediately. But this was, it was very touching also because, you know, it was on 9/11, as I mentioned here, and here, you know, it was a day of memorial here also in Israel. A lot of people that their families, you know, went through
right.
wars and went through terrorist acts, and they were identifying with 9/11. Having this mother speak about her son in Benghazi.
Well, because
really
this is the anniversary of Benghazi as well today. This is the anniversary of Benghazi, the one-year anniversary. And what have we done? You know, another thing that we need to do is pray for our military. Because this president has taken away their ability to fight, but he keeps putting them out there to fight. He's defunding so much that they can't repair their weapons. They can't do this. They can't fix the ships. They're, you know, putting ships in dock and all this kind of thing. And yet he's asking, now we're setting up for something else. I mean, he's asking so much of them. But his design is to decimate and destroy our military because he considers them terrorists.
Mm-hmm. And we really have to lift them up.
We do have to lift up our military. They are being targeted more than just don't ask, don't tell. They're being targeted for destruction.
And this is where the power of lifting them up before Almighty God is so important for everybody to be doing that right now. We know that God is a God of everything. And
And God doesn't want this. God is screaming at us to turn back. Turn back. And listeners, turn back to God.
Absolutely. Amen. And, yeah, and this is comes to what we were speaking about a little bit earlier before the program, and as I told you that, you know, this is a time right now of, you know, as we enter the Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement, and we have the Feast of Tabernacles, which is, of course, we know that the spiritual meaning is how we tabernacle with God. This is the final, it's also a Day of Judgment. It's also a time of prosperity, and the enemy knows that it's a time of prosperity, and this is a time where we're going to get persecuted more and more. That's why I believe, you know, all this, all these things are happening right now. And this season is not a coincidence, you know. It's because it is the time of the feast. And, you know, this is why I believe all this happened at this period of time more and more. But, you know, as we're talking about persecution, yesterday we were sharing in the streets of Tel Aviv about the Day of Atonement, asking people if they're going to fast, why they're going to fast, if they understand what the Bible says about fasting and about the Day of Atonement. And a lot of people, you know, were interested, and we had wonderful opportunities to share about the Messiah, to share that Yeshua, Jesus, is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, and he is our final atonement. He is our Yom Kippur, and only through him can we go through the tabernacle. We can't go in the tabernacle if we don't have Yeshua's joy and Yeshua's salvation. And as I was sharing, one young man came over and he started to ask questions, but the way he was asking it was in a persecuting way. He was trying to cause trouble. And he said, you know, who is Jesus? Are you Jewish? And I said, of course not. No, he asked, are you a Christian? And I said, well, I'm not a Christian. I'm a Jew who believes in Yeshua. You know, I was born a Jew and I died a Jew. I can't change. I believe in Jesus and Yeshua. And then he said, are you sure that you're a Jew? And I said, I am. And he said, who is Yeshua the Messiah? And I said, yes, he is. And then he said the word, he's dead. And I said, then he rose on the third day. And he was like, he looked at me and he said, where does it say that? And I said, well, Isaiah 53 says that he conquered death. He rose. He died for our sins. And when I said that, we go back to what we were talking about, the power. You know, it was the power of God that protected us, and it was the power of God that let this individual leave. So, I mean, we're going to be persecuted, but God, the power of God is much more stronger than any persecution, much more stronger than any enemy. You know, in the book of Philippians, verses 1 to 11, it says, And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in depth and insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Yeshua, the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and the praise of God. So this is the prayer, that my prayer for myself and for everybody, that we would know the knowledge of God, and we would have the correct insight.
Oh,
so we're excited what's going on in Israel. We're excited about what's going on in preaching the gospel. And more people are coming to faith. And again, you know, it's the same thing. I mean, what happens in America? You try to get the gospel out, and the government tries to stop it in schools. And the enemy tries to get this Common Core stuff in and everything, attacking the children. It's all persecution. It's a different form of persecution, but it's the same thing in what's going on here in Israel. It's just in a different form. It's the same spirit.
Well, it's amazing to me that, I think that's one of the things that I hope that parents would get is, you know, we know that there's so many things going on, but don't forget to pray for your children, you know. Sometimes I think of that scripture, we have not because we ask not.
Right.
And I'm trying to, you know, trying to cover as much as I can and remember, you know, give it to God. And he is so good, Zeb. One day when I was at work, I thought to myself, you know, I'm going to write down, I know that God doesn't have to answer my prayers, not even one, but I'm just going to write down, you know, what he's going to do for me throughout the day. And I started writing my little request to God. And would you believe I had to stop at number 22? It's like God is so present, you know. God is always there. And no, he doesn't have to answer, but I think he was trying to show me how much he does for me in a given day. And I take it into account. I mean, I don't take it into account most of the time, you know. We forget that he's preparing our way, and we're not giving him credit for it. But that, to me, was just a little glimpse of the goodness of God that, you know, I take for granted.
Oh, yes. We all do. We get wrapped up in what we're doing, Diana. A lot of times, you know, we kind of don't have that everyday, you know, moment where, oh, you know, here's God. We're trying to be better at that. All of us are trying to be better, to recognize God's hand in every moment of our life. Because he is walking with us. And we have to remember he's actually walking with us. Because where we go, we take him with us. Because he's in
it. And it's amazing, like you said, Miss Christina, everywhere we go. And you know, Zeb, for you being right there in Israel, you see it everywhere. This is the place where Yeshua, you know, went. There's so many things. So there's nothing like it, I'm sure, being in Israel, you know, following the footsteps of Jesus, you know. That's not something you just say, but probably in some instances you're actually doing. And which I think brings to mind, you know, that the love of God is so real. It's so real for me, and I live here in the United States. But when you're there and you're speaking to that person that was questioning you, it's like, wow, you know, yes, he died. He died on the cross. He died on the cross in this place, in this nation. Now, how amazing is that, Zev?
Well, it is amazing. You know, I mean, it's supernatural. It's amazing what Yeshua did for us. But, you know, I mean, yesterday also, this young man named Yuval was saying, you know, I've been fasting for the past 10 years in the Day of Atonement. You know, the Day of Atonement is Yom Kippur. It's for Jewish people still do it for forgiveness of sins. And he was saying, but I don't think I'm going to do it this year. And, you know, he felt emptiness. He knew deep down inside that, you know, I mean, it's good if we fast and pray, but if we're fasting and praying for our salvation, it's by works. You know, we can't do anything to save ourselves. It's only Jesus who died on the cross. And, you know, and this is when he started to open up and I started to share with him, you know, the true meaning of the cross and what Yeshua did for us. And you're right, it is amazing. And being in the land where it happened and where it's going to happen, it is amazing. And, you know, as I mentioned, we're in the season right now of going into the Feast of Tabernacles. And I don't know if a lot of people know this, but in the Feast of Tabernacles, it's not the only festival, but it's the main festival where it's the only festival where there's a command. There's a command to be with joy, to be joyful. The Bible mentions the word joyful three times when it talks about Shavuot, Pentecost, but in Sukkot is actually which is Tabernacles. There's a command to be joyful, and what joy is it talking about? It's talking about the joy of Yeshua, the Messiah, and that joy can only be fulfilled if we understand what He did for us on the tree, on the cross.
Amen.
Oh, indeed. And when I think of the fact that my name is written in heaven, Jesus said there's nothing greater than that. So there's so much to be joyful for. And now, when is the actual date, Zev, for the Day of Atonement and Tabernacle? Would you mind telling us when that is this year?
The Day of Atonement is this Friday, and it begins at sundown on Friday until sundown Saturday night. So it's about 25 hours, the Day of Atonement here. And the Feast of Tabernacle begins on the 18th, which is a Wednesday, sundown. And that's for 7 days, actually 8 days. The eighth day would be Hoshana Rabbah, which is where Jesus said, "If anybody thirsts, let him come to me and have eternal life." So this is we want to reach that Hoshana Rabbah. We want to reach that point where we can tabernacle with God. So it's a wonderful time, wonderful season right now. You know, the Word of God blesses us all year long, but there is a special blessing in this period of time, three times a year in the appointed times. That's Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. And this is definitely a time of blessings, and I pray a blessing on everyone that's listening and everyone that is with us right now today on the radio.
Zev, with speaking of Sukkot, right after when it starts on sundown Wednesday, this is the 18th. It goes for 3 days where it says Sukkot, and then the third day it says Chol Hamod.
Chol Hamodim. Chol Hamodim is still the Feast of Tabernacles. It's
right.
It has
a different meaning.
Absolutely, it's the time where we come to the Lord. It's time when we give our offerings to the Lord, our prayers to the Lord. It's, you know, the Jewish people actually still stay in boots. A lot of them are actually sleeping in these boots at night also as well, just like the Jewish people did in the wilderness. But as believers in Jesus, believers in Yeshua, we understand it's not a physical, you know, you can go into 1,000 sukkahs, but you're still not going to be tabernacling with God. We understand it on a spiritual level, what it means. And
right.
and why it says to to have the joy of Yeshua. There's also something that's very interesting where it says on Sukkot you should take yourself a fruit of a good tree. You know, and the rabbis they go and they spend a lot of money buying these fruits and buying these myrtles and everything, which is okay, but they miss the point. They miss the spiritual point because he was talking about the fruit of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
So that one goes for 4 days, and then Hoshana Rabbah, you were just talking about that.
Yes.
And then Shemini Atzeret.
Shemini Atzeret is Simchat Torah, which is the rereading of the Torah from Deuteronomy again from the beginning, and that's where they celebrate Simchat Torah, which means the rejoicing of the Torah, rejoicing of the Bible. And every year I go out and I dance with them and I enjoy with them and everything. But, you know, and it's going to sound like, you know, I'm not, it's funny, but it's not funny. I mean, I always tell them, you know, it's wonderful that you're rejoicing and you're dancing with the Torahs and with the scrolls and everything. But it would do a lot good if you would read them. because they don't read the Bible. They read interpretations.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Zeb, go ahead, Ms. Christina.
I was just going to say it's more ritual for them than it is, you know, heartfelt. Mm. Go ahead, Diana.
How will they observe the Day of Atonement?
Well, they observe the Day of Atonement by fasting from sundown. They go to the synagogue. They pray all day. They usually don't wear most Jews don't wear leather because they believe that you know, leather represents an animal, and that's kind of like going against the atonement in the tabernacle. There are different rabbinic teachings on that. So most people go to sneak with tennis shoes to the synagogue, and they just pray. But you know what? We understand that there's no more sanctuary, there's no more temple, there's no more sacrifices, and that's why Jesus came, Yeshua came, and he fulfilled that in Passover once and for all. The truth is, they could fast until tomorrow, but that fasting will not bring them salvation. The only one who can bring salvation is Yeshua, the Messiah. And you know, the fact that they did it 2,000 years ago, in the temple, that was just a picture of what Yeshua did for us. That was just to show man that he cannot come to God without atoning for sin. And they were atoning for sins not just in the Day of Atonement. There was actually every day they were sacrificing animals for sins, because, you know, we're sinful people, and you know, but they believe that it's the, you know, they're that they can actually get atonement of sins for 1 year, and next year they go, and you know, it's good for 1 year. That's what they say. It's good for 1 year, and next year they fast again. It's good for another year. So basically, they miss the whole point, which is very, very sad. And that's why it's crucial that we preach the gospel not only in Israel but all over the world, and so people can understand what these festivals are, what God is calling us to, and what is redemption of sins. Because in no way are we saying that these festivals don't exist anymore. We're saying that they're fulfilled, and they're fulfilled through Yeshua HaMashiach, and that's a big difference. You know, Yom Kippur was fulfilled. You know, in John 17:13, Yeshua speaks about the joy, and this is the joy that we have to go and to enter into the tabernacle after we have our Yom Kippur.
Mm. Well, Zev, these days, are you seeing more fear than you have in the past, or are things pretty much the same? When you think about, you know, now, you know, there's all this talk of us going into Syria, which, of course, you know, ratchets up things a bit with Hezbollah. And, you know, could really directly impact Israel. Are you seeing more fear among the people than usual, or is it pretty much the same?
Well, I think that, as I mentioned before, regarding the panic that we had here last week with the gas masks, I think that right now, after people are understanding that there's probably not going to be a strike and there's probably not going to be any anything, you know, more unusual, there's always going to be you know, threats here in the Middle East and missiles from time to time, and Hezbollah doing, you know, bombing up a bus here and there, which is perfect, which is, you know, it's a way of life here in Israel. But nothing unique is going to happen. And I think people are understanding that right now. There's less panic now. There was panic last week, but right now life is pretty much gone back to normal. People are more focused right now on the holiday season, the festivals, on the Feast of Tabernacles and everything, and they're busy with that right now.
Mm. You know, Ms. Christina, I don't really know what to think of this president, and I guess not that it matters, but, you know, you almost
I know
think,
what
are
to,
his handlers? Well, okay. But I almost wonder if, like, you know, was this really a plan just to distract all
yes.
this charade to take away from Benghazi and all the other troubles that's at home?
You
and
know,
now he's pretty much got that done.
Yeah, there's another, well, Putin bailed him out. Did you ever think that Putin would be the hero? But anyway, this whole thing, to me, is a ruse. You know, he started something, part of it's his ego, but part of it is that, yes, he needed to cover something up, and part of what we think this is, Diana, the guns that we were running from Benghazi through Turkey to Syria, the targeted strikes are to get rid of the weapons that we ran into Syria to the rebels, because God forbid that that should make it to TV, that here's our weapons that these guys have that we gave them. So that's another thought process out there, because I do believe that everything this man is doing is evil and has evil, dark intentions. So, yes, he needs to get the focus off of Benghazi and NSA, and he will do whatever it takes and create as much chaos as he can create while he's there doing other things. You know, Diana, most people here that are fighting Common Core have no idea he created a program called Connect the Schools. Nobody's paying attention. Nobody. Pardon me?
Who created that program?
Obama. And he did it with Qatar. The people that are involved.
Yeah,
the people that are involved in this. I've written an article about this. The people that are involved are Muslim Brotherhood. But this was done in 2009. One of the people, Tariq Ramadan, was banned from the United States. He's Muslim Brotherhood. And Hillary Clinton reinstated him in 2011. Obama has started this in 2009 when he did that speech in Cairo, Connect the Schools. And we are now connected with Qatar, the home of Al Jazeera, the biggest supporter and funder of Muslim Brotherhood. And we're going to connect our children via technology to them for the Islamization of the United States.
Well, we will come against that.
Well, but
well,
this is in the background, Diana, when you say, you
oh,
know,
yeah.
Distraction. Yes. It is a distraction because he's doing all this other stuff in the background that nobody's being aware of because they're watching Syria and they're watching Benghazi and they're watching this and they're watching that. And basically, too, remember, it's overwhelmed the system.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is. I did post something from an article from Mary Graber and to Ms. Christina, and the long line that you're saying, too, of connecting the dots. We have really got to connect the dots. The enemy is so way ahead of us. We have so much work to catch up. But, you know, a day like this gets people fired up, and I hope they'll be so fired up that they'll dig the truth. I am posting the articles, kind of what you're saying, because you know, we cannot have these people teaching the children that Allah is God's curriculum.
They will
my
be
goodness, you know.
They'll be connecting via the computer, so you wonder why they want all this technology. You won't know who your kid is connecting to.
Exactly. Oh, my goodness. With that in mind, I want the listeners to be able to listen to our friend from Israel, Zev. We're going to ask you, if you don't mind, start us off in prayer. Ms. Christina, if you want to also, when he gets off, gets through with a prayer, pray also. It's a special day for us to remember. But God is God. He is sovereign, and he is powerful. And parents, we need for you to remember that. But first of all, Zev, if you don't mind, would you share your wonderful ministry, Messiah of Israel Ministries, the website?
Our ministry is messiahofisraelministries.org. That's messiahofisraelministries.org. And we'd love to hear from you. We'd love you to get online and send us an email and prayer request and your thoughts. And there's also an opportunity to sign up to get email letters from, you know, with outreaches, direct live outreaches, reports and videos from Israel. So I encourage you to sign up over there, and may the blessing of Yeshua be with you. And I just want to just to say one thing before we get into prayer. You know, you spoke about the children, and, you know, and this is really terrible what's happening in America and around the world regarding the children. You know, and Psalms 138:8 says, "My children will fulfill God's will and purpose for their lives." And Psalms 127:3 says, "My children are a reward, a gift from the Lord, and I will enjoy them." You know, it's a gift from God, and we shouldn't let any man corrupt them, anybody corrupt them, any system corrupt them. And we have to remember that it's a gift from God, and we have to keep our children in the Word of God and not to let them go to these evil schools or evil places. And if you have to homeschool your kids, then so be it. But do not send your kids to the devil.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Can't encourage people enough to homeschool.
Yes.
You know, it's just, I'm just crying here, you know, thinking about that, you know, just to think how the enemy is trying to penetrate and to destroy our children, because, you know, if he can destroy the children, he can destroy the root of everything. And that's what he's trying to do. And it's
exactly what's happening. You know, that's what I saw on that TV program. You know, I always tape it, so I watched it later because I had to go somewhere last Friday night. But when I was watching it later, I couldn't take it. I could not take watching these children that have been destroyed. They've just been...
Oh, my goodness.
I couldn't take it. I almost was crying. It was so upsetting. So, yeah, it's bad here. They've done a great job, and now we've got a big job, and we have a big God that can go forth, and we've got to undo what has been done. So that's our job. That's our mission.
And I encourage everybody to take this verse down, Psalms 127:3. And remember that my children are a reward and a gift from the Lord, and I will enjoy them. And just remember that verse, and that verse will keep you strong in the Lord and not let you give your kids up to the devil. Psalms 127:3. So Father, we thank you for our time shared tonight. What a good night or good day it is in the States this night here in Israel. We couldn't think of a better place to have your presence and right here. We're sorry for those who don't know you, who don't know your joy, and we pray for them, Father, that they would come to know the truth. But I thank you for those who are here by divine appointment. If there are any in our midst who have not yet experienced your wonders, your salvation, may they know that before they leave tonight or today. May their lives be in your hands, not in man's hands, by faith. We receive the power of God and receive the power of God unto salvation. Your righteousness, we thank you, Father. We bless every precious soul that was listening here tonight, and may the truth be given to us that we may give it to others and they might know your eternal life. We pray all this in the wonderful name, the name above all names, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen.
Lord, thank you. I just come in agreement with my brother Zev in Israel. And Lord, I just stand on everything that he just prayed. And I so stand in agreement, Lord. We so need to reach people. And Lord, I just thank you that as we go forth as your vessels and your servants, that, Lord, the Spirit precede us in all that we do, and that we are your glory and your light to others. And, Lord, that they see, and they will turn back. We thank you, Lord, of your hand of blessing upon all that we are doing, each and every one of us. And for those that are listening, Lord, we thank you for your hand of blessing upon them, that the Spirit will draw them back to us. And, Lord, they will hear the message that we are trying to give to them. So, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the blessing of this day. And again, we thank you for your hand of blessing upon Israel, upon our nation, and those that are standing in the gap. This day, this special day of remembrance, Lord, that we remember you, We remember what has happened, but we remember you most of all.
Amen.
Lord, I just thank you. I praise you. I give you the honor and the glory in all things. And I pray this in your precious name, Yeshua. Amen.
Amen, amen.
Lord, I just come in agreement, Lord, with all my dear friends, Lord, Zev and Miss Christina, Lord. And I thank you for your word, which is a lamp unto our feet. And Lord, I thank you for you said in Job 38, Heavenly Father, have you entered the storehouses of the snow or seen the storehouses of the hail, which you reserve for times of trouble, for days of war and battle? And Lord, Heavenly Father, I just pray that you'd help us, Lord, that you'd give us the wisdom to fight the good fight, to proclaim your truth, and to stand in the gap, Lord, for children throughout the world, Lord, not just America. And, Lord, we see the news about the children, the Christian children, Lord, that's being destroyed in Syria, Lord. Lord, we ask for your mighty hand to come upon the enemy, Heavenly Father. Oh, Lord, I just thank you for your word again. As in Psalm 35, Lord, you said, Heavenly Father, they claim, Lord, they ask us of you, do not be far from us, O Lord. Awake and rise to our defense. Contend for us, our God and Lord. And Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for those words. We thank you for the gift of your word, which is a lamp unto our feet. We thank you for the example of Jesus Christ and how you said, Lord, that we can ask and it shall be given us, seek and you shall find, knock and the door will be opened, and that if we ask and it be according to thy will, it shall be done. And Lord, you said to suffer not the little children, and Lord, to let them come unto you. So we ask, Lord, that you help us, Lord, to remove this common core, the indoctrination, Lord, that's being sent as a plague upon every nation, Lord. Lord, we ask that you would send us your help as only you are able. Lord, you said that we battle not by power nor by might, Lord, but by thy spirit. And Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you that your word says that you seek your worshipers that worship you not just in spirit but in truth. And I pray, Lord, that throughout the land, throughout this nation, and Lord, Israel and the nations of the world, that there will be a stirring up coming from you, Lord, for the truth to be found out about Common Core. And that, Heavenly Father, mothers and fathers will rise up, those who are called by your name, and they will do what it takes to defend their children. Lord, I do pray, Lord, that many, many of them, multitudes, will be homeschooled, Lord. Be taken away from the grasp of the enemy, Heavenly Father. Lord, we thank you for that you are preparing the way, Lord, for Miss Christina and others to, Lord, to just enlarge that, Lord, Heavenly Father. And Lord, we thank you that you're not but just a prayer away, Lord. You are so near to us and that you love us so much, Lord. So we ask all these things. I pray for a blessing for Zev, Lord, in his ministry. And, Lord, Miss Christina and the ministry you have gifted her. And, Lord, we pray for those that have lost their families on 9/11. We ask that you send them comfort. But most of all, we pray that they will come to know you as their Lord, their Savior, their Redeemer, Lord. And, Heavenly Father, that they will know that their loved ones, Lord, they're going to see them again, I pray. Lord, help us to be about your business, Lord, loving you as you are so worthy. There is none like you. Thank you, Lord, for that reminder from Job that you are God. And, Lord, why you love us so, I will never understand. But, Lord, we are so grateful. We thank you, Lord, and we love you. And we ask all these things, Lord, in Jesus' mighty and precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Look, I know we're running out of time. Is there something I'd like to share if I have 2 minutes that we have to be able to
do? Oh, please do. You go right ahead. Yes, you got all the time
okay.
You want.
Actually, you know, we've been praying about this Common Core issue for a long time right now here in Israel as well. And I've been sharing with parents and other people here in Israel about it because, you know what, it's a red light. You know, I mean, this can happen tomorrow in Israel. It can happen anywhere in the world. And if people know what's going on, even the non-believers, and they can be aware and, hey, you know, and be with the red light alert that this doesn't happen also here in Israel. And there's a prayer, there's a scripture that I always tell people to confess all the time. And as you were praying, I was kind of translating it from Hebrew to English. And it's just Proverbs 18:21 says, the tongue has the power of life and death. As parents, you know, we have to speak. We have the power to speak life or death over our children. And when we choose to speak the words of God, our children, you know, in their life, you know, Yeshua said in John 6:63, the words that I speak to you are the spirit, and they are life. And the following, you know, the scripture, the confessions, you speak over your children, like it says in Isaiah 55:11, those words will not return to you empty. And they will accomplish and achieve the purpose for which they have been sent for. So just confess these scriptures over your children. The tongue has power. God spoke the world into existence. He spoke and miracles happened. Jesus spoke and the dead rose. So there's power in the words of God. So confess these words over your children. Parents, do this over your children. And don't compromise the word of God. Take them out of these schools. They're not schools. They're butcher houses. That's what I call them. They're butcher houses. They're butchering your children. Take them out of there and put them in the word of God, in the most safest place that you can put your children in. In the name of Yeshua. That's our prayer.
Thank you, Zev. Powerful prayer, powerful words of wisdom, and I believe in that. I thank you for that. And so, parents, if you're hearing that, please do that. Please listen to what Zev has said. And God is so good. You know, he gives us wisdom. Ask him for wisdom, because he tells us to ask him for wisdom. Right, Miss Christina?
Yes, and ask him for guidance. Ask him to open those doors for you to get your children out of the school. Ask him to open a door for you. You know, get with other parents. Discuss it. Figure out what to do. Get your children out of these government schools. They are the pit of Satan. They have become a very dark place, and you do not want your children in there to be destroyed. They will be destroyed. Their heart and soul and mind will be destroyed. You don't want that. Pray to God. Seek him. Get on your knees, and he will open those doors if that is your desire.
Wow. Well, listeners, hopefully that, you know, you will think upon the words that's been said today. God is in his throne. He is looking at us, and we will be accountable for what we do. So keep that in mind and share the good news of Jesus Christ so that others' names will also be written in heaven, especially at these times where, you know, we know we're not promised tomorrow. And look at what's going on around Israel, the apple of God's eye. May that be a sign for us. So, Zev, I'm going to close the show. Do you have any other thing that you would like to share?
No, just to add to what you said and in agreement, and yes, preach the gospel of Jesus, of Yeshua, so others will be saved and others will know the gift that we have received. By grace, because God loved us first. It says in John 3:16, God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, Yeshua HaMashiach, that whoever should believe in him shall have eternal life and not perish. So this is just keep Romans 1:16 in mind. Preach the gospel of Yeshua. Don't preach a man-centered gospel. Preach the real gospel.
Yeah.
And if we preach the real gospel that can only be done by faith, that faith activates the righteousness of God on our behalf.
Wow. Well, folks, I think it's been said. Now you know. Now act on it. And if you want abundant life, if you want that joy and the peace that passes understanding, there's only one place you can get it. Abide in him, and he will abide in you. get to know our Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, he loves you so much. Well, thank you, Miss Christina. Thank you, Zev. Look forward to you both.
You're welcome.
You know, coming and going on next month. I hate that this is in because we could just go on, you know. There's nothing like loving our Lord and Savior. And, you know, I'm at home with y'all, so.
I know. We get on the phone, Diana, and we'll talk for hours and neither one of us want to hang up.
I know it. And that's what we want the listeners to get also. You know, you don't want to miss out on that, folks, because there's nothing like it. It's not something money can buy, and it's not something that you can indoctrinate people with. You know, there's all this thing about they're trying to teach kids at school so that, you know, the world will see that homosexuality is good. Please wake up. It's never been good. It takes you away from God. So anyway, in closing, may God bless you. May God shine his face upon you. And we ask that you please go to Zeb's website, Messiah of Israel Ministries .org. .org. Goodbye. Bye, Zeb. Bye, Miss Christina.
Bye, Diana. Thank you.
Good night.
Night.
Peace.